Hey friends, welcome to the Next Step Leadership Podcast, a conversation dedicated to helping you make your next step your best step. I'm Tracy Reynolds, and my partner for the Next Step journey is Chris Maxwell. Together we hope to inspire, assist, and create the confidence you need to take your next step in your personal growth, spiritual growth, vocation, or even your calling. Thanks for joining us. Well, come on, let's dive into this week's episode of Next Step Leadership.
Welcome again to Next Step Leadership Podcast. Tracy Reynolds and I are excited for our second interview with a dear friend. And Tracy, as we were having the conversation last week with Sergio, I was like, I am just so proud of him. I know I can say that. It's like a cliche statement, but I'm very proud of him. I'm proud of not only what he has done and is doing, but I'm proud of who he is. I just love his attitude.
Well, you know, Sergio described his father as being authentic, the real deal, I think was the direct quote. And I don't think a son can give a father a higher compliment than that. And I would just say, Sergio, you're the real deal, buddy. And Sergio is one of several associate pastors at and I cannot stress it too much, a phenomenal church in Lenoir City called Living Hope. He does a lot of things, but while he's doing that, he's also serving the church in Columbia. And so we want to talk a bit about how we got there and the whole nine yards. But man, welcome back to the podcast, Sergio.
Thank you. It's good to be back.
Well, you were sharing quite a lot about how God has moved your life and shaped you. And boy, the story about God calling you through your dad. I can't ignore that my son's in ministry and how the Lord just came screaming through loud and clearly with that. But, you know, I guess then how in the world did you move from Columbia and such a direct thing to now North Carolina? I mean, that man, did you get lost and take a wrong turn?
Well, you know, we have been in Columbia for almost 10 years, you know, pastoring a church and also leading a network of churches in Colombia. And of course, I'm Colombian. My wife is American. So when you live overseas, you have to be adjusting status all the time, you know, for our children, for her, for us. And we just needed to come back. We knew that we needed to come back to the States for some time to adjust paperwork for all of our family. And we knew it was going to take some time. It was going to be a couple of years that we needed to be back in the States. At the time, we didn't feel released from our work in Colombia, so we didn't know how that was going to work. And it's just one of those things that we had not even told many people. Sometimes you don't tell anybody anything, and people know about it. And I was like, is the internet listening to us? But one day, I got a call from this man, Keith Gillen, and he knew that we were transitioning. And obviously, some people in leadership from our organization, they knew that we needed to come back. But he knew of this information, and he called me in Colombia and said, hey, I heard you're coming back. I would love to just have a conversation with you about the possibility of you being at our church. And I didn't know anything about him. Later I learned that, you know, his daughter and I went to Mayo we overlapped similar times. But I didn't know he was her dad. And so, you know, you begin researching and, you know, stalking people on Facebook. Who is this man? Who is this, you know, who is this church? And it's just one of those divine connections that the Lord places in your life to take the next step. Sometimes you don't know where the next stepping stone is. You're just, you know, everything is just void. But then all of a sudden there's a stepping stone. Pastor Keith and Living Hope had been one of those stepping stones to keep walking and to keep serving the Lord. He knew what we had to do. He said, "Hey, we want you to be here. Stay here as long as you need to." And we knew at the moment that this could have been temporary or that this could become permanent. So it's been a blessing being here. Part of my reason for being here was to help them develop a Hispanic congregation within our congregation, which we're doing totally different. We didn't separate a Hispanic congregation. We're bringing everybody into our services, providing live translation in Spanish. But in the midst of all of that, there have been other things that the Lord has allowed me to do. As I said it earlier last week in the interview, you know, now I'm serving also as communications director at the church and just filling some roles, some things that I believe areas that maybe the Lord has gifted me to do. So it's been a blessing to be here in this amazing, wonderful church. An incredible staff, man. I've made some friendships, incredible friendships. It's a people talk about a good work environment. I don't think it gets better. It gets better than this. It's just a wonderful group of people.
Well, yeah. As you're saying that, I'm going to just kind of tell a secret in advance, make it public, that Tracy and I are excited about an upcoming interview with not just one person. We're going to do something different in a future podcast. We already have it scheduled, so those of you who are listening, be ready for this. We're going to have a conversation with you and your whole staff. Tracy, that's going to be fun, isn't it?
It's going to be fun.
We're looking forward to it. We've been talking about it, and it's exciting to be able to do that.
And what I like, and this is where I'm going to take it now and send a question back to you, is every time I talk to every one of your staff members, they're not rolling their eyes and negative on church or negative about problems. You guys have created a climate of welcoming one another and community. Talk to us about that, how those of us in leadership roles can become better at not just obeying the Lord and going where we're called, but making a difference in the atmosphere, the relational climate, that relational atmosphere. And that's what I see around you and your staff. Talk to us about that.
So I know we hear a lot of talk about culture in creating the right culture. And the reality is that we are creating culture whether we know it or not. Whether we are intentional or not, we create a culture with everything that we bring to the table. With my backgrounds and with my baggage and with everything that I bring, I create culture. And Pastor Keith, man, he's number one. Let me just brag on him. He's a great leader. From the first moment that I met him, I knew that he was a great leader just to be able to have the staff that he had at the time. I think a lot of the things that cause issues is insecurities, and we all have insecurities. But he is somebody who is very secure in his calling, in his staff. He's not a micromanager. He always tells us, "Hey, if I hire you, it's because you're supposed to do it. It's not for me to come do your job." So there's a lot of freedom. There's a lot of space to grow, to do, to succeed, and to fail. And I think when you have a leader that does that, it instills a lot of confidence in you. So you are able to play to your strengths and to your calling and to everything that God has given you. But it's a great culture. When they did my interview, I don't know if that was an interview or not. It didn't look like it. But he brought me in with my wife, and he even wanted all my kids to come to it. We didn't bring him because they would have driven us crazy. But when we came, Christy and I came, and we just had we sat in the conference room with all of the pastors, with all of the staff, and we just told them about ourselves, and they told us about themselves. We asked questions, then we went to lunch. And I think that was kind of like and recently we hired another staff member, and we did the same thing. We brought them in. We flew them in from another city, him and his wife, and we met. We had lunch. We talked. And I think that's the initial meeting to kind of see is there chemistry. Mm-hmm. Is there chemistry? And I think chemistry is something that is so important in creating a culture. I remember talking about how to hire somebody, and this is what I've used in Colombia. You know, I want that person to have character, to have competence, and to have chemistry. So they have to have competence. You know, they have to be able to do it. They have to have character. That's crucial. But they also have to have chemistry. So I think that initial meeting was to discover, is there chemistry between us? And I think there was, you know, great friends. I just went with two of them this past weekend to see the Braves at Atlanta.
Come on.
You know, if you got people at work that after work you still want to hang out with them, you know, that tells you a lot about it.
Yeah, it does. Well, I love the three C's:
And I think you're probably right. They had already answered the character issue. They knew that. They know people who know you if they didn't know you directly. Mm-hmm. And they could see by the body of your work, your competence. There was no question about that. So that what they were probably looking for is, as you said, do we fit? Do we work mm-hmm. together? Is this a, right. Can we be partners in ministry right. together? That is so, so key. Well, somewhere in all this, as I've listened to you share the last couple of weeks, the common denominator I see in all these things is people.
Right.
Jesus died for people. You obviously have a deep love for people. It starts with your wife and your family and your own family of origin was such a big part of your life, your personal family now, but now we're talking about a community of faith, a community, mm-hmm. a staff team. Talk, where did that come from? And how has that grown in you?
Okay, so let me see if I understand. Can you repeat the last part again?
Well, you obviously, to me, have a deep love for people. Mm-hmm. That in every one of the conversations we've had, the common denominator has been both Jesus and people. But where did that deep love for people?
Okay.
Because ministry is made of people, right?
I think people create tension. If we are honest, we have to admit that people create tension because sometimes you love them and sometimes you don't love them that much. But I think that is the tension, and that is a good tension to have. And that tension even creates balance in that equation. But I think my love for people is definitely comes from the Lord. When I was in Franklin Springs, I served with a pastor that loves people. And I think that was his number one gifting, just being pastoral. That is not my number one gifting. I am not pastoral. I am more critical thinking. Mm-hmm. I am more strategy, process. So you know that people that are critical thinkers, people get on their nerves a lot. and so I was like, if God called me to people, to the ministry, how am I supposed to do this? And I think a big part of me being in Franklin Springs had to do with learning to pastor people. Just because that's not in my gifting doesn't mean that I don't need to grow in that area. So just being able to be with people, to go to the hospital, to be there at the mm-hmm. funeral, to be there at the wedding, it just began to produce something in you. I mean, if you hang out with people enough, you're going to start becoming what they are. And part of that was that I still am, you know, my nature is an introvert. That by nature, that's what I am. So, you know, I'd recharge by being alone. I'd recharge mm-hmm. by being away from large groups. But all of that is for the purpose of ministering to people and to mm-hmm. being with people. And I didn't realize that. But one day you wake up and you realize it's like, you know, I'm kind of okay at this. You know, I'm kind of good at with people. And I've enjoyed it. And it's a blessing just to be in people's lives, even when it goes a little bit against your nature. Well, the thing with people is that, you know, by nature, I'm an introvert. And, you know, a lot of times you recharge by being away from people and by being away from large groups of people. But I knew that God called me to people. The ministry is loving God and loving people. That's the Christian life. So there are some things that I had to learn in the process. And whenever you hang out with somebody long enough, you begin to reproduce who they are. And I think the Lord has placed me throughout my life with people that love people. And as you see that, you see the benefits of that. To me, it's like discipline. I don't like discipline, but I love what discipline produces in me. Mm-hmm. And my wife would tell me, you are very disciplined. You love discipline. Well, the reality is that I don't love discipline. But I love so much what it does in me that I do it. So I think it happens the same with people. A lot of times, you know, there's people that say, I'm not a people's person. Well, that's not an excuse. Once you get past that excuse and you begin to love people, then you will begin to see the fruit of that, how that is a blessing to you, but that how much that is also a blessing to others.
Unfortunately, too many leaders use their personal preferences, what they really mm-hmm. want to do, as just a means of staying away from people. Mm. And, right. and all that we are doing is to be with people, to guide people, to love people. Yeah. And we can have strategies, we can have these long list of goals and ideas and dreams and hopes. But why do we have them, Sergio? It's to draw people more to Christ and to lead them to be the people that God has called them to be.
And let me now you said that, it made me think of this, but I think today ministry has become, if we are not careful, ministry can become very strategy driven and very method driven instead of people driven. And of course, we don't go to conferences for somebody to tell us to love people. We go to conferences for somebody to tell us how to do it better. And we got to be careful, because we can get so enslaved by the processes that we forget to love people. Here at Living Hope, you know, every single day of the week, no matter what you do, all of our pastors, you know, this is your hospital day. So you are at the hospitals. So we got to go to, if you're at the hospital for an entire week, on Monday, you will get visited by one of us. On Tuesday, another one's going to be there. On Thursday, another one. So at some point, you're going to be like, quit coming. But but we're gonna be there in the process. And even as we grow as a church, as a larger church, that's one thing that we do not want to forsake, just the importance of being in people's life in the difficult moments.
I want to come behind that and point out that in the midst of, because it's both things, it's not either or. There's a system in place to support that pastoral care that makes it effective. So, and like you said, it's a weird thing. What came first, the chicken or the egg? Well, was it the empathy or was it the opportunity? Well, both, you know, as you step into that, God shapes our heart and gives you the capacity to love more and to care more. It's just, that's a very, very cool dynamic. It's a balance of both, isn't it?
Right. And you know, of course, you know, your flesh always struggles. You might say, well, today is my day to go to hospitals. Mm-hmm. But the connections that you make through that is like the next person that person walks through the doors of the church is a different relationship. It's totally different. If I was there right before the surgery at 6 o'clock in the morning, the next person I see, that we are brothers in Christ. You know, we are family. It wasn't, there's the pastor out there on stage. The relationship changed because we were able to connect in those difficult moments. So I think that's so important to us. And he's taught us all the benefits that come from that.
Mm. Sergio, I just love everything you're saying. And as we get a little bit closer toward finishing this conversation, just talk to us from your heart. Tracy and I, we just see so much of the love of Jesus in you. We want to continue learning from you ourselves, and we want our audience to learn from you. You're such a good example of the type of leader that we need to see today, with a servant heart. You got a great mind. You have a heart for people, just committed to the family and to the Lord. Give us some good reminders of why we are doing what we are doing.
Man, first and foremost, the reason that we are here is Christ, and the reason that we continue what we do is Christ. None of the things that we do make sense outside of the person of Jesus Christ. You know, the preaching, the teaching, the visiting, all of that is for the purpose of communicating that you know, people need salvation. And we cannot lose mind of that. One of my prayers every single day is, Lord, order my steps, order my steps. Mm-hmm. And, you know, human nature, we tend to take the wrong steps all the time. And we tend to go on detours. And sometimes God takes us on detours, but sometimes we choose our own detours. And my prayer has always been, Lord, just order my steps. I want to be where you want me to be, at the right time, at the right moment, in the right place. And of course, you know, that requires discernment and being able to listen to the voice of God. But even in my life, you know, the place where I am today, I'm just grateful that God has allowed me to listen to the voice, to his voice at the right time, to say yes, to take the right step. And I just want to encourage people just to keep walking, to keep walking the walk. If you are tired, the solution to being tired is not giving up. The solution to being tired is resting. And I think a lot of people give up because we just don't take time to rest. But I don't know. We have associated giving up with being tired. And that's one of the things that the Lord's taught me. You're tired? Take a break. Rest. Sleep. Mm. Go on a sabbatical. But don't give up. The calling is not a career. The calling is something much greater than that. The calling continues even after we retire. And those are some things that I've learned from my family, from the context in which I grew up. And I hope and I pray that I can be there one day. I hope that when I'm 60 or 80, I can continue to serve in the Lord with passion and to just be used for His glory.
Amen. Oh. Well, Sergio, thank you for those words. Those words are encouraging to me as a 66-year-old. You know, I want to keep being fruitful. I want to be faithful to Jesus. I want to be faithful to the calling. I love the calling. It goes way beyond the years. And if I'm tired, man, like you said, get some rest. Right. Hello. Sometimes that's the most spiritual thing I can do is go to bed.
That's right.
Go to a Braves game and then go to bed.
Yeah. There you go.
Amen.
Yeah. Well, hey, listen, man, God bless you, my friend. It is, it's wonderful to connect with you. I've looked forward to this time, and my only sadness is that we're drawing to a conclusion, Chris.
Yeah. Me too. Well, Sergio, we love you. We thank God for you. Mm-hmm. And I pray that, that we will listen to the thoughts that you've given us, last week and this week, good reminders. And again, we're proud of you, but we're so thankful for the Lord, for what He's done in your life. Keep making a difference for the building of the kingdom.
Yes, sir.
And like we're all trying to do, Sergio, just those next steps you're going to take, make them your best steps possible.
Thank you, thank you, thank you for having me.
Thanks for joining us on Next Step Leadership, a weekly conversation dedicated to your personal growth and leadership development. Chris and I are so glad you joined us. You can find us on your favorite podcast providers. Do us a favor and hit subscribe. And if you really want to help us, give us a rating. We so appreciate your support. Check out our show notes for more information regarding guest contact information. Tracy Reynolds' new book, Second Chair Leadership, How to Serve, Thrive, and Lead from Where You Play, is available now at ctracyreynolds.com or Amazon. Chris Maxwell's 11th book, Equilibrium, 31 Ways to Stay Balanced on Life's Uneven Surfaces, is available now at chrismaxwell.me or Amazon, where you can find all of Chris's previous books as well. Our featured music is by Casual Americans. You can find their musical releases at casualamericans.com or your favorite music supplier. We release Next Step Leadership each Thursday, so join us again next week on the Next Step Journey, a conversation dedicated to helping you make your next step your best step.